back in.
Okay,
so we're back in close. We're in closed session under item F on our agenda. I don't know how to really start this discussion.
Well,
go ahead, Bob.
You know, I just before we even talk about this easement, which is actually white hot, and not having it in my mind, as I've discussed, is going to point us in the direction of making a potentially horrific end of game decision to drill Bloomington and have a problem there. That's what we're getting forced into. But having said that, I think it's critically important at this juncture to recognize that the phase one 154 unit will serve letter was based on a development and annexation agreement. Okay? The annexation provisions themselves require Summit as soon as possible to annex those 154 units into the district. Summit has chose not to do that. Brent Rose, to my knowledge, and this is only through Chris Crockett, has prepared those documents for annexation and was ready to proceed about 2 or 3 months ago. He wanted to do it expeditiously. There was something about a hearing that would have been required, some mathematical calculations. Nonetheless, the development and annexation agreement is the backbone of our relationship with Summit, and they have not complied with the critical provision therein, namely moving forward with annexation. Phase two will serve letter was based solely on the development and annexation agreement being enforced and in compliance. Additionally, the phase two will serve letter had conditional letters attached, one of which specified that there would need to be a concept plan submitted to the district within 90 days. Mm-hmm. That's not been complied with. That deadline was May 12th. Mm-hmm. So my baseline sort of comment is that we've got serious non-compliance on our hands already. And this cat is out of the bag, guys, okay? It's absolutely out of the bag based on these sorts of serious non-compliances. So that's all I have to say about that.
In addition, Bob, they haven't complied with the phase one will serve from 2013 had, seven issues or conditions on that phase one that needed to be satisfied. They have not satisfied all of those conditions, which I think we've discussed before. They're in non-compliance from, you know, forget this current. They're in non-compliance on the phase one will serve letter. So in my mind, they stick us to, here's what the development and annexation says, you gotta comply and do these things. So we play by the rules, but they don't. And I will go on record saying, they're not in compliance, and I don't think they plan to be in compliance.
My comment to all this is we need to always do what we say we're going to do,
which we have.
And at some point we need to make sure to protect ourselves as a whole. We need to make sure that others, if we have to force, then we have to make sure that others do what they say they're going to do. But we never go to this. Well, because they did that.
That's not my intention.
I know, and I heard. I guess what I'm saying, Jennifer, is I'm reinforcing what you're saying.
I think we need to go legal at this point. We have a legal document that is enforceable: the development agreement, development annexation agreement, the will serve letters. These are legally enforceable documents. We need to now bring the attorneys in and issue demand letters. That item, blah blah blah, such and such. We need to issue these. Sooner rather than later, they're not compliant.
Jennifer, you're right, but when I bring those issues up, my initial first pass thoughts are, do you really want to engage in further agreements? For instance, a priority agreement on future water at Cobabe in exchange for a simple easement, when given the sort of non-compliance as a backdrop? I'm not looking for an open-ended war here, but the simple fact is the annexation provisions are very, very specific and critical.
Exactly.
And then this, you know, I mean, come on, guys.
No, I think it's just a demand letter. That way we are,
okay.
You know, we are doing what we need to do. You know, we are putting a noted, written notice from our attorneys that you have not complied with, et cetera. I'm not looking to fire the first shot or anything. I'm just, it's a reminder that they haven't complied.
I got you.
Right? I'm not trying to be adversarial at any point. I'm just, it's a general reminder, yet legal, that we have a document that is enforceable and you are in non-compliance of X, Y, and Z. And please, you know, we've brought this to your attention. That covers our, it's a CYA move on our part as board members, that we are, one, aware of it, and two, we have done something moving towards getting them to be compliant. It is a CYA for us, Bob.
Okay, you're right, Jennifer. I stand corrected.
Okay. Sorry.
Let the record show that Bob was wrong.
No, he was not wrong.
He might have been incorrect.
I'm just teasing. Oh my gosh, I'm teasing.
He might have been incorrect. He's never wrong. So I think that is a move that needs to be done. Like this week, we need to get, whether it's Rachel or Mark, drafting something that we can give to them, certified mail, et cetera. Whatever it says in the annexation agreement, I believe it's certified mail, et cetera, so that they are put on notice that, one, we not only do we notice it, but now we're giving you legal notification that you are non-compliant. I think that's the proper legal maneuver. It's not adversarial. It's just a little nudge and a little legal notice that you are non-compliant, and we are making you aware of it.
I can agree with that if it's one step. I think there's others that have to happen right now as well. Bob, or Paul, tell us what...
Hey, Gary, what do you want to do, man? You're the chairman.
Well, Paul, I was just going to ask Paul to just make it clear for the trustees that are in the room. I think you know because you've been dealing with it, but what's the stumbling, what's the holdup here?
Well, yeah, you know, it's
on the easement.
It's the classic thing, and of course, Trustee Ebert and I were texting each other one fine Saturday about a week ago about this very issue, and it's...
Nice Saturday texting.
It was a nice thing. I was in the middle of a birthday party. I don't know what he was doing, but for a grandson. At any rate, we have Summit giving us their document and saying, this is what we demand that you do and give us and agree to in exchange for us giving you the easement. We give that off to our attorneys. Our attorneys come back and they say, in short, this is what they say. Look, I'll put it the way I understand it. Look, they pulled this deal on you on this will serve letter. Let's, you know, the same's true. They hearkened us back to the master development agreement. We're going back to the master development agreement and saying many of the things that they're asking for that be memorialized in this particular document is in the development agreement already. It's already contained within the, you know, those provisions are there. So we don't need all of this fluff. And so they got it down to, you know, they cut it down and they said they simplified it and took out some of the whereases and the wherefores. And some of the whereases and wherefores, I personally don't think I could take it to the state and have it get legs because it's, you know, it's developer, developer, developer. And I was quizzed directly by that board. I remember well the questions. Now, this isn't for the benefit of the developer because that's misuse of these public funds, these bond funds that we're committing. This is for the existing district and the customers, right? And I look them in the eye and I say, right. And then this document starts reading about, we get this and we get that, you know, Summit. You know, you know, no, we can't do that. You know, it can't be that way. Right. So at any rate, they pared it down. Now, the one real hang up, and I'm... You know, as I thought about it, why am I hung up on this? The one thing that's the real problem is that Summit wanted us to give a specific accounting of how many units we planned on servicing with this well. I'll just leave it that way, whether it be now or in the future. Of course, I ran the number up and said these are the number of units based upon the COBABE agreement and based upon what we have in existing and committed. And of course then Greg Moreau was worried about, well, what about those that aren't in good standing? I said there are none of those, and you heard that today from Carrie, that, you know, we're getting compliance, they're all in good standing, so there's none of that.
What
he's worried about, and we've talked frankly about it, me and Moreau, is he wants to shut down, freeze out, Moyle.
Mike Moyle.
And maybe anybody else, because he says, I see a lot of land for sale, and we have a prior, you know, we have a priority. Well, yeah, the development agreement says you do, and the phase two development agreement says you have a further priority. Okay, you get your priority. We don't disagree with that. Mm-hmm. Why am I bothered by us tying this down so tightly? As I've thought about it for the past couple of weeks, I'm thinking, well, what's bothering you then? Why can't you list all of these and say it's okay? Well, I guess you can, but what happens if you miscount? And who are we working for?
Well, this is all a moot point. If you look back in the annexation development agreement, it states clearly in there that we are the water company. We decide what to do with the water.
Yeah.
They don't tell us what to do with the water.
Right.
If we happen to have excess water, we could say, oh, you know what? This well is producing great. We will give you some of the excess water. But it's clearly stated in there. I know we went around and around stating that because they tried to keep sneaking in language that said, hey, if you have a little couple extra gallons, we get it. And we kept saying, no, we're the water company. We decide how the water is appropriated and who gets how much.
We're talking about Cobate now. They don't have a priority.
Exactly. Cobate, well, they have nothing.
No. Right. No, he's just looking to be able to get as many connections or services as he can with, you know, milk everything to the max. And sure. Also, let's face it, it's to lock out Moyle. That's what he's really all about.
But those properties up there, like that he has, that is a property that was created a long time ago, that parcel that he purchased, that 1.9 next to the mm-hmm. condos there. That property was, we've committed to water to that property a long time ago. Whether or not he can actually find the will serve, the prior owners were paying non-connect fees up until some point or something, but that's property that was already intended to be served by Powder Mountain Water Sewer. So for Morrow to come in, at this point and say, no, you can't give them water, one, he's not the water company. He doesn't tell us what to do.
Right.
Secondly, that's property that was developed. That parcel was developed when they built those condos. So we're going back 30 years. That parcel has been in existence for a long time within the water district
that they're talking about.
Okay. Well, here's the point. So here's the problem. We've got the Summit easement document.
Right.
Our attorneys modified it, come back with something else.
Right.
Trustee Ebert, as Commissioner Ebert, does the very best he can to, I'm going to express for him what he'll say for himself in a minute, I guess. Does the best he can to negotiate something to get this off of dead center. We produce a document that doesn't fall in line with what he had negotiated and hoped that we would consider and agree to, and so we've got there's this dichotomy, and I
don't understand why there's
any
negotiating. We need the easement. They promised us an easement, no strings attached. At least that's what it was months ago. And here we are now. It's got all kinds of things attached. Mm-hmm. I had a conversation with Greg Morrow skiing 3 months ago and said, hey, we need this easement. Oh, we'll give you an easement. No problem. We'll give you the easement. You know, I wish I had that recorded. Not that it would be, you know, binding. But all of a sudden it went from they were going to give us this easement so that we could go and get our well, get our source, have our own source of water for phase one, to now it's, well, we'll give you this, but we want everything else in return. I don't understand how we made that leap.
Okay.
they were willing to give us an easement months ago.
Well, that's where we are right now.
Well, and we're even further than that. Let me just explain where I think we are, because I think Commissioner Harvey alluded to this, but I'm not sure this is what he meant when he said it, but I think it's what I thought of when he said it. He's always told me since he'd come in a while ago, we teach people how to treat us. We sat in this room and passed a motion a month ago, and we've had nothing but fun and games since then. And passed a motion that we would proceed with legal proceedings to force the easement.
Mm.
And we've had nothing but fun and games for a month since then. And the bottom line is, nothing's gonna change until we go forward with that type of a strategy at this point. They think that we're just gonna piddle around here and pizzle spring. That's the worst thing. Anyway,
I'm gonna pizzle around here.
pizzle around.
And
that's good, Kerry.
And I'm frustrated because I've heard the same thing. We'll give you the easement, but they continue to put these conditions on it.
Yeah.
It's almost right. You know, I deal with my kids all the time. I'm willing to help you, but if you won't accept my help, then there's nothing that I can do about it. You have to go learn the lesson the hard way. Fine. We're in a place now where we have to move forward. We've already pizzled from June to August.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be lucky if we make August at this point, to be honest. I mean, mm-hmm. that's going to take everything that we can do to make that happen. That puts us another year into this.
Providing August doesn't work, it puts us another year.
Right.
And that's the problem, because we are at their mercy. We are using hidden lake well as opposed to our own source.
Which, no, not completely.
Well, that's the way they see it.
Yeah, that's the way they see it.
Right, but we've got the operating permit. It's,
yes.
I've got the bat, you've got the ball.
Sure.
We have the key.
And so it comes down to me that they have to do, as Commissioner, we have to do, as Commissioner, or as Trustee Harvey said, mm-hmm. what we said we'd do
mm-hmm.
in order for them to understand that they've got to come to the table here in good faith and make this negotiation. And I've, you know, I know that it's an expensive process. We may not have to follow it through. We may just have to be serious about the fact that we're going to do it in order to make this work. Let me just add one more thing. I had a phone call about a week ago from an old friend, from the legislative auditor's office. I will tell you this, this board ought to be damn glad that he's an old friend of mine and that he has tremendous respect and tremendous confidence in the work of Paul Hurst, because they are not happy with what they're finding in from this district. And it goes back to the fact, I mean, in the past, it goes back to the fact that this was basically a developer-controlled district. It was a developer district. And if we take any steps with this board to put a developer back in control of this district, we are in some big, big trouble with the legislative auditor's office. We are going to be used as an example as we speak of all that's wrong with districts. Thank heaven they're not going to name us by name. It's just going to be this hypothetical district somewhere. But I'm telling you, we have made tremendous progress over the last little while, especially since Paul came on, with earning the trust and confidence of the state agencies again, and we are at risk of losing all of that if we are not very, very careful and we don't handle this extremely surgically, and so we have to be very careful. Let me just say this: knowing what they know now about the past, they are watching us very closely, and rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
If it hadn't, and I'll say this again, as I've said it before, and I've heard Bob say it, I've heard everybody in this room say it, it's not just Paul coming on, it was the county stepping in and basically helping to move this along as well. There were several steps that took place that have brought this thing back from complete death, from Lazarus to now. We're alive, but we're on life support, and we have to. Bob's got a triage, I guess, at this point, to figure out which limbs to cut off. But it's not good, folks. We have got to. We can't set up a mentality in which any developer thinks that they are going to direct the affairs of this district. We have to look at the district as a whole,
mm-hmm.
and we can be as pro development as we want to be, but we have to look at the development as a whole and be appropriate in every single decision as we do that, or excuse me, the district as a whole, not the development as a whole. And I'm just really concerned that we're the timing on this, we're just taking way too long to get. I mean, I said, if Summit would have come back after last month's meeting and said, okay, we understand that you're trying to help, we're not going to get everything we want in this agreement, just like the last one, we're going to go by the development agreement, just like the will serve letter, here's your easement, then I'd feel a lot more comfortable with where we are. As of today, I feel extremely uncomfortable with where we're at. And I think we'd make a huge mistake not to come out of this meeting and proceed with legal action to move it forward.
So thank you, but going further with that, we've just spent an hour or more talking about this. If we'd have just done this when we said we were gonna do it, would have saved ourselves 7-8 hours of this board's time with 1 hour per person. Just so let's move. Is there need to be a motion? I got a lot of other things to do today, and most of them involve around this kind of project. So I want to get moving.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm not sure.
Can I just state one assumption that I have right now?
Yes.
I'm assuming that we're not going to move forward on Bloomington for the reasons that have been discussed.
I think we take the steps that we said we were going to take from months ago and we go that direction.
Okay. I'm just for clarity. If we authorize, with or without a formal report from Paul and Don and the state, them to go ahead with Bloomington, it is game, set, and match. They control both sources of water. We have nothing. I strongly recommend that we are explicit in stating that we will not permit Bloomington. It's an irrevocable game, set, and match move that would be devastating to our strategy.
Paul?
Well,
give us your opinion.
Yeah, here. I'm gonna give you my opinion. And Bob, you know, since I know what both me and Don are going to say, and I've laid it out for us. The risk is there. The risk is apparent, and I'll even say imminent with the drilling of that well. We will not. You know, the only thing we're trying to do is we're trying to get a safe second source, and that risk I can't alleviate right now without our new well. I cannot do that. It's mitigating the risk. That the only thing that we engineers can do is work to try to mitigate the risk and hope that Murphy doesn't play so hard that we can't mitigate it. And so all in the room in that meeting about 2 weeks ago were in agreement that the approach we were taking was the best fail-safe that we can come up with to allow Bloomington to move ahead. The reason I'm saying, well, I guess to some extent, I'm just saying, we don't know what we're going to get out of the ground from Cobabe. Test well, better come up with some water, but what happens if it doesn't?
Right.
And we've blocked Bloomington. Oh, wow. You know?
Yeah,
so we're damned if we do and we're damned if we don't. So that's my...
Yes, and I appreciate that, but now we're in a closed session with different considerations besides technical well drilling risks and fail safe and all that, okay, the lawsuit. I'm telling you that if we allow Bloomington to move forward without getting an easement, Summit, if Bloomington is successful, there's not a catastrophic screw-up up there, they're going to have the water rights, they're going to have paid for the wells for both sources of our water. Our future at Cobabe is uncertain moving forward with the Wolfies at that point. Okay, those mitigation shares, we could use them for alfalfa growth. We quite possibly and arguably likely would never get the easement out of these guys. We would never be able to generate our own source of water, and we would be forced into a capitulation at that point. I think we need to put a pause on Bloomington. I think we need to get this easement, come hell or high water. I think at that point we need to drill a test well. We need to figure out what's down there, and once we figure out how much water, if it's worthwhile, we need to proceed with the production well on our own. At that point, we sit down at the table with the developers, plural, which would include Summit, Mike Moyau, and whoever else, and start dividing up the water. That's the only path forward that I think we can do.
Bob, to your statement, and this was one thing that's been weighing heavily, and I haven't been able to adequately address it, but I did with Don that day that we met with the Summit people on this Bloomington
okay.
well. That being the mitigation.
Yeah.
Both Wolfies and the mitigation in Cache County. Don will say to you, Don will write to you, to you. We have been very upfront with the Wolfies. We've been very upfront with Cache County as to what's going to happen and what's going on. And frankly, that ship has sailed when the master development agreement was approved by Weber County. And everybody was put on public notice at that particular point.
The state agreement, you mean? Ken Jones' decision?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, all of those things. And because of the regular interaction that Don has been having with the Wolfies, they're aware of what we're doing and they're aware of what's going on. And he doesn't feel...
Paul, that's not true, okay?
Okay.
I'm every bit as involved in that as Don is. Don hasn't gotten back with them in terms of our initial proposal, honestly. And these Staples, who is highly influential, has told me that they would have a problem with two wells. Simultaneously.
Well, I can't speak to that. Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't been there.
So I'm just telling you guys that Terry Gibson has beautifully laid out his frustration and what he thinks is a strategy, but to not couple it with a freeze at Bloomington is pointless. It's game, set, and match.
Let's be on my pay scale.
I agree with Paul that the only thing I disagree with on Bob is that when you said it's not a race, I think it is a race. I think we need to get both sources if we can. And I'm okay with both going forward at the same time. The only question is the way that Paul's just laid it out. If we don't hit pause on Bloomington, does that make it harder for us to get movement on Kobabe?
I think so, Kerry. I honestly do. I'm wrong more commonly than not. Just ask anybody that knows me. But I think we're stuck. And fundamentally, you've got to recognize that these compliance issues are a trust issue with me. And Jim Harvey said it a dozen times. Talk is cheap, okay? Talk is cheap. If they get control of Bloomington and get lucky up there, we have no additional points of leverage on this easement. We could be toast with a wolf. We just don't know how that's going to roll. It is sort of a race. If we can get a test well at Kobabe, we can get a production well done down there. But we need to move on this. We've wasted a month since a board motion. Okay,
so
that's all I can say on
this. Okay, so back to my question. The only thing that's up in the air to me, we don't even have to come out of this and make a motion to move forward with eminent domain. We've already done that. It's already valid. My only question is, do we basically say hold on Bloomington until that easement is in place and we're moving forward on Kobabe as well? Or is that just, I mean, I don't want to cut our throat to, you know, I don't want to cut up our nose to spite our face. So if that helps us to get movement on Kobabe, then my suggestion is we do have a motion to do that. If it doesn't, then let's just, if we think we can get Kobabe through eminent domain, we just file the papers tomorrow and get started.
Okay.
Why tomorrow?
Here's
why not
how
today?
I would count as far as certain. I would say we're going to move forward on eminent domain because we're out of time and we need to move, and that's just what we're going to do, guys. And we're going to hold Bloomington because it's important for us as a public utility to have apples-to-apples comparisons on water sources. Why would we take a risky approach at Bloomington when all we have to do is drill a test well at Cobay? If that's wildly successful, we're in the game. If it's not, then it's a whole different kettle of fish. Mm-hmm. The approach is not to say we're going to hold Bloomington until we get the damn easement. That's not the approach. We're going to hold Bloomington until we get a test well. That's the internally consistent approach, I would suggest.
Pipe up.
Okay. Bob, the only thing, just and I'm not going to touch the the political issue, but let me just speak to the technical issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We probably have, if we were to get the easement tomorrow, mm-hmm. and you were to say to me, go bid the test well.
Got it.
I've got pre-approved contractors, so I'm going to have to give them. Let's say we'll give them 3 weeks. So I'm back here at the next board meeting to either that or I do a phone poll to say, will you authorize award of a contract?
Mm-hmm. Right.
The contractor then has, he'll take him, he won't be sitting there ready to go. He's going to have to mobilize and come in. Let's say it takes him another 30 days. Is somebody doing the addition for me here? We're into 2 months right now, aren't we? So, and then he's going to be another... messing around another 30 days drilling that test well.
So we'll know by September.
We'd know by September at the earliest. Then it would be time for us to say, okay, let's go ahead and proceed with the production well. Mm-hmm. He might be able to get the production well in and set and test pumped before he's snowed out. He might.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now let me flip over. Starting in early June, I'm giving you calendar facts here. Starting in early June, Summit's already got the well driller in place to drill Bloomington. They're in there. They're drilling starting in June. We'll say even the second week of June. It's going to take them, let's say, a month and a half. And then they're done. They're proving out the well. Maybe another 2 months. They've got it.
We're trucking water. We're waiting for homeowner lawsuits.
We're not trucking water until something goes sour.
best case. They're ready to go and they're ready to start building a well house by the end of this summer. Let's say. And maybe they can build part of it through the winter, maybe they can't, I don't know. But I guess what I'm saying is they can have Bloomington up and producing 3 to 4 months before, well, I say even longer than that, 6 to 8 months before we can have a production well going. Because we're going to run into weather.
Yeah, and we need a second source. We do. The quicker we can get a second source, the better. To me, and I respect what you're saying, Bob, I just disagree with...
Okay.
To me, the only reason the only reason for us to hit pause on Bloomington is to get movement on Cobay. That's mm-hmm. my opinion.
Now let me translate for Bob. Hey, Bob, I no need for you to go menehuni on us.
I'm not taking the hit when this goes south, Rob.
Oh my God.
So, can we use that? they've been leveraging everything to get what they want. Can we leverage them to get this easement? I know we shouldn't have to leverage anything because they already promised it to us. So I hate that they renege on their promises.
Jennifer,
can we leverage Bloomington to get the easement?
I concur with that, but I think the way we leverage is do what we say we're going to do.
Condemn.
When
okay.
we said we were going to do it. Now we're
which was
we're
last
six,
month.
Yeah,
I,
which,
I was in Sri Lanka. I wasn't here for that.
Sorry,
one.
I was
sorry.
Awesome. How was Sri Lanka?
Oh, amazing.
Jerk.
And a week in Bordeaux, France. That was
jerk. Great.
That was horrible.
It's wonderful.
You
had your spill.
So you made a motion last month to move to with the eminent domain condemnation, but nothing was filed. With the state.
Let's do
like
it.
We were
okay,
making,
so we need to
like
file something with the state today, like today. Get Mark Anderson or whoever needs to file it. Let's do it. I mean, what are we waiting for? They're not going to come over and go, hey, we changed our minds. We want to play fair now. It's not going to happen.
With all due respect, we felt like we were making progress, or some progress.
Okay.
And there was legitimate concern about the cost of following this thing all the way through. We need to be aware of, as a board, if they take us to the mat on this, we will win, but it will cost us a lot of money.
But normally when you go into litigation or something like that, the prevailing party gets their attorney's fees reimbursed by the losing party. So I'd be willing to take that risk. And if you're saying we will prevail, then why are we not doing
well,
this?
Well, it's almost unheard of for a public entity not to be successful in an eminent domain case.
Sure. Especially when it's for something like this. It's for water.
Right.
And it doesn't even need to be for public benefit. In the state of Connecticut, the developer won for private profit. It's the only one in the United States. But it was an eminent domain that was not for public purpose, for public benefit. It was for private benefit. So
my guess is that once they know that we're not screwing around on the easement anymore, that we're willing to go to the mat.
Maybe just filing it is enough for them to wake up and say, yeah, we promised this to you. We don't want to. But you know what? I doubt it. They're still involved.
They're still involved with
that sewer lagoon with Wolf Creek. Mm-hmm. They're still involved in that eminent domain action. It's been almost 2 years. Over 2 years. So they're willing to spend the money to battle, right, Bob?
Yeah.
But I think it's something we need to do.
Okay. As a board member, and I won't use the word demand, but I definitely want Paul to put in writing his recommendations for moving forward on Bloomington. I want Don to similarly put in writing, because I'm hearing him say, and Don say, and I'm not disputing this, Paul, don't take this wrong, okay, that we've identified the risk, we think it's acceptable, it's a raise, look at the calendar, folks, and all these sorts of things. But I want it in writing, okay? Because I actually do believe, okay, and I've been wrong, Jim, I get this, I'm no Menahuni here. I actually do believe that once they start drilling at Bloomington, if they're successful, that it is the end of this district, that we will not be able to develop a source at Cove easily or without any due cost, and we will capitulate, and then you will expose the district to all those state auditor things that Trustee Carey started to talk
about.
That's how I think it's going
to
work.
It's just that we have to, it's unfortunate that we have to go through this, but let's just go.
Yeah. Can I ask another question?
So, yeah.
They are moving forward to have an independent district, you know, a separate water district. And that's, in my mind, that's why none of the annexation was obviously filed, so that they can take everything in the divorce and leave us with nothing. Well, leave us with what we had prior to them existing. They're still moving forward with this process, I'm assuming. What does that process entail? I think I understand that we have to give final approval. Like, if we don't approve it, it doesn't happen. I mean, as a district. If we don't approve the divorce, it doesn't happen. Is this true?
I don't know about that.
Okay. I don't either. But
I think the commission has to create the district, but I don't know about the district.
Okay.
So what are our decisions in this closed session?
What it comes down to me, we don't need a motion to move forward on eminent domain. The only thing we need to decide is if we need a motion, if we're going to hit pause on Bloomington for the time being. And if we do, it seems like I don't even know if we need a motion for that. We could just have, Paul could just say that. You know what I mean? We don't necessarily need a motion. We could just come out of here, have no motion, move forward. You go tell them that we're hitting pause on Bloomington until we get an easement, and that we're filing condemnation papers based on our last meeting.
What are we going to do about these non-compliance with the annexation and development agreement?
I think we need a letter from our lawyers, just as a reminder, you know, that they're in non-compliance, but it's in a legal format. It's not the board coming to them with a letter, no offense, Chairman of the Board, signed by our district, but coming from our attorneys has a little more leverage, has a little more weight to it.
In failure to disclose this concept plan, what are we going to do about that?
Same thing. It's a notification. Okay. It's a legal notification. It's not a demand letter. It's a little less than that. It's just a legal notification that, by the way, like they don't know, you are in non-compliance of X, Y, and Z, and we list it out. We give them copies of the, you know, whatever it is that they need to have, and they are put on legal notice. Because I believe in the annexation agreement, they have to be given notice and they have a cure period. So we need to look back at that. There is a provision for it, and it,
right.
There is a legal notification with a cure period, and it will state in there what the cure period is, 30 days, 60 days, depending on what kind of a non-compliance
or
default.
So we want to do that. Who's going to communicate directly with our attorneys today about that move?
Would you like me to call Mark Anderson? I'd be more than happy to call him.
Rachel
Anderson. They both know the development agreement.
Well, Rachel's in touch with this non-compliance issue. Is
okay. I'd be more than willing to call Rachel and have her.
What do you want to do about that, Terry?
I'm fine with it. I don't think we need a motion to do that.
Okay.
We don't need a motion.
I don't think so.
All right.
I think that's something that can be directed by the director.
Yeah, and then we can Rachel and I can discuss it.
Monster
we can
urges,
yeah, yeah. Okay, thank you. And okay. We can circulate a draft of it's just a legal notice based upon whatever the development annexation agreement says. There are it's we're going to do everything legal. It says right. You give notice. This is how
got
you
it.
Give notice
Paul,
and this is your cure period.
Yes, sir.
Paul, as our engineer, are you willing to put your recommendations in writing?
What you pay me to do, I'll do it. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't want to be again here, but 2 years from now, when this thing's all a big mess, and I'm, let's say, in Hawaii, I think we need a paper trail here, because heaven forbid that we move forward on Bloomington after they cave on this easement, there's a catastrophic problem because we couldn't wait 3 months. Heaven forbid.
Well, didn't I hear that one of the thoughts was, and of course we haven't formalized this, but one of the thoughts was that I heard somewhere along the way that I deliver the message to Summit that we intend to put the Bloomington on pause
mm-hmm.
until such time as we get the easement
yep.
for the new Kobe well. That's
we'll
what
move
I thought.
Forward
I heard.
With them together.
And we're going to move
absolutely.
Forward. And
yep.
we're going to, and if they don't do it, we're proceeding immediately also to file to take action to condemn the property.
Yes.
Yeah, not if they don't. That needs to be filed today.
Yeah.
And we can always
okay.
withdraw it.
Thank you,
Gary. You can file it and you can withdraw it.
I'm with that. I say we file it and withdraw.
Yep. You can,
fine.
You know, you can
we're
sue
done.
For divorce and you can change your mind. So, yeah.
I just
no
say,
more playing around. We're
no.
we're running out of time.
We've already said. We need to do it, and we've already given them enough time. Let's just move forward.
Okay.
Right.
All right. So the only thing we need to talk about when we come out of closed session, we need to decide if you want a motion to do any to do anything on the property release on Sheep Creek.
Mm-hmm.
The Sheep Creek deal.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Do we just do
cut
we write that off or do we not?
Cut the guy a break, Bob. But tell him it's a one-time deal, and if he tells anybody, we'll send out our goons.
I agree. I think he's been good, but at minimum, I think would split the difference between what he offered and what he's due us.
Yeah, have him sign a confidentiality or something, non-disclosure. Because once it gets out, then other people will be like, "Well, shoot, I have fees. I don't want to pay. They did it before. They'll do it again." You know. I mean, I'm not making him sign it. I'm just saying we'll cut him a deal to have him pay half. You know, and he could pay it over the months, whatever $5 extra a month
right.
or whatever it is.
That's how most people.
But I don't want it to get out that. You know, hey, we just waive
but
fees.
I'd be okay if there's going to be some kind of a title transfer. I'd be okay with going after the previous owner, even if there's some kind of a record that shows that there's no reason he should be let off the hook. Why? I don't know.
Well, if he already deeded it over, it might be too late.
If he deeded it over, then he deeded it. Then is it all the past due?
Oh, did we have a lien on it at the time?
No,
if
no.
there's
no
lien,
no,
we have no
at the time.
We have no legal standing.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have no legal standing. So.
Okay, are you clear with the motion you want to make? When we come out of this close session?
No, but I think I articulated it well enough that someone else could make the motion that I could second. I don't know what I said.
If you articulated it so well and you can't
make
even
a
I'm
do
the
best. How would you explain
I'm doing the best I can talking right now with a retainer, so can you cut me a break? Thank you very much. And it's a new retainer. I'm trying to say the word synthesizer on the other day, too.
Okay. So the motion is to have the Sheep Creek lot number 11 owner pay half of what he owes We'll give him a break, half in whatever terms works for him, an extra $5-$10 a month or whatever. And we have no action against the previous, but that's the motion, I guess.
Got it.
Okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Robert, let's come out of closed session then. We need to go back into public into open session.
Okay, make a motion to go back into public.
Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We're back in open session.